Amen. Well, Father God, we just praise you. We glorify you for this time that we're in. We thank you for your protection upon President Trump and all his people, all the MAGA people. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing this election about in a fair way. It looks like there's a lot of stuff going on, but Lord, I know that you can make it right. We praise you. We thank you for doing that. Lord, lead us and guide us tonight into the things that you'd have us to pray for and to talk about. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for your Holy Ghost that fills us, leads us, guides us, and gives us new revelations in your word, Lord. Not only that, he's the power that helps us to overcome, the power to help other people. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Be with us tonight, Lord. And I set a watch before our lips that we only speak the positive things of the Word of God. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. All right. Let's see. I wanted to pray for Teresa. Tell me what her name is.
Dina,
okay. Well, Father God, we lift up Dina to you. Lord, we break right now the power of the enemy off of her that is hindering her walk with you, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for granting repentance to her and bringing her into the kingdom in a mighty way, Father God, that your love would just flow out from her heart, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Lord. I know she's been had a rough time, but Lord, I thank you for giving her repentance, showing her repentance, and that she would repent and forgive. And I thank you for it. And I command all those tormenting spirits of anger, bitterness, and fear, and all of those things that goes along with the things that she has had problems with, and I just command every tormenting spirit away from Dina right now in Jesus' name. I bind you and cast you off of her. And Father God, we love, and I'm going to believe that we're going to see a change in her almost immediately in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for bringing her into the kingdom. And Lord, I thank you for showing your favor angels going to her and speaking to her about her husband. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. And I praise you and I glorify you, Father, for the work that you're going to do in this family. And I thank you, Father, for reuniting in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Father, that it's going to be a quick work also in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Lord. I glorify you. And I thank you, Father, for doing this for this young family in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Y'all believe that?
Yes.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else? And Lord, I'm going to pray for, oh gosh, I'm trying to think of the boy's name. What's your boy's name?
Terry? Yeah.
Terry, yeah. Well, Father God, we lift up Terry to you. We praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in him. We thank you, Lord, for all the things that he just is on fire for you, Father. I thank you for putting a hunger in his heart to get closer and closer to you, Father God. Lord, I understand there's revivals breaking out all over the United States in various places. Not many, but they're all over the place. And I thank you, Father, that he will be a part of it. This revival that's coming across the land, it seems like. And I praise you for that, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that he will have your love in his heart as well. And I thank you for that, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for doing this work in him and giving him a quick mind to discern and to understand about what him and his dad are doing, and that he would have a good income from that, Father, so he could support his family in Jesus' name. And I thank you for doing that for Terry and Dina in Jesus' name. thank you, Lord, and this child that they have, Lord. I thank you, Father, that if there's been any trauma, that it's gone in Jesus' name. And I thank you for any hate that's been, that she's heard, be gone in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for showing the love, her to show, to push her full of love for her mother and her dad in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for restoring this family once again in Jesus' name, in your love, in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it.
Amen.
Glory be to God. I believe it.
I believe it.
Amen.
I believe it.
All right. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request or a prayer? As much as y'all has seen on what we just got through talking about over in the Signal, and you don't have a prayer? Come on now. Go ahead, Benita.
I just want you guys all to agree with me in prayer for a good friend of ours. I think I've mentioned him before, Barry and Suzanne. And Barry just had an MRI done, and they found tumors in his liver and pancreas. And so she said that his cancer is spreading. So I sent her that prayer that Missy just sent, you know, sent earlier on Signal, and encouraged her. And she's in good spirits, and she has a peace. She's a Baptist believer, but she has a peace that passes all understanding right now, I would say, in what she does understand and believe. So, Lord, I just want to lift them up. And, Lord, we just bind up the spirit of infirmity and just cast that out of his body right now, Lord. We just bind it all up and send all those little devils right into the ocean and away from him, Lord. Mm-hmm. And there just will be no sign of it at all next time he goes in for a test. It'll all be gone and dissipated, Lord. And he will be 100% healed in Jesus' name. We thank you. We take power over that enemy. We command it out of him right now. We send forth the angels to just rebuild everything that's been broken and just put it all back together the way it's supposed to be, Lord. And all those cells are just going to work perfectly. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. We come against the spirit of the fear of cancer and be gone from... Is it, who is this now?
Really good family friends of ours. They used to live up here with Bias. They live in Gulf Shores now. But they went through a lot of hard times like we did. You know, we both lost our houses and had some trials, and we just stuck through it together through the whole thing, and just really close friends. So,
okay. Thank you, Father, for blessing
Barry.
Both of you. Jesus' name. Barry, we praise you, Father, for blessing Barry, not only with complete healing, restoration in his body of all things that the enemy has tried to steal from him, in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for opening up his spiritual eyes to see that the truth of the gospel and not what the preachers have told him in that church that he's in. We praise you for it, Father, that he is healed, delivered, and set free by the blood of Jesus. Glory be to God. And we thank you, Father. Okay. Go ahead, Judy. I don't know who was first, but go ahead. Just you, the lady.
Ben was actually had his hand up, but then he put it down.
Go ahead, Ben. See how gracious she is.
Right. Oh, yeah. Thank you very much, Julie. My power went out, and so I had to basically go somewhere so I wasn't sitting in the dark, so I went to go see my sister. And if anyone's not in the group chat or just hasn't seen the message, that Zach's back in the house.
Praise God.
Yeah, so that's a win, I would say. I can definitely tell he's calmed down a lot, and I can definitely tell that he's, he feels like sorry for what he did, because, you know, he hasn't said it. Well, I can definitely tell he feels it. He hasn't really brought it up all that much. He said that he said some really mean things, and that he, you know, all that stuff. And whenever I give him a hug, it genuinely feels like he has like that feeling of like, wow, I really kind of like said things that I shouldn't have. And he showed me a Bible verse or a couple of verses when I went over to the place, and he showed me Jeremiah 30. I think he's kind of mixing it up with some New Age stuff. It talks about like when the strong man, like, can a man bear a child? And we see a strong man looking like he's pregnant or something. I forget how the verse goes, but I'm sure y'all know what I'm talking about. And then he showed me like some stuff about Marcus Aurelius, and I'm like, I don't know what he's trying to do here. I think he's just trying to figure stuff out. Marcus Aurelius is like an old emperor from Rome or something. And anyways, he's definitely also telling me that he's trying to get off, well, maybe not right now, but off the medication that he has been given. Like samples. He hasn't said anything about the marijuana yet or anything like that. So there's definitely still some work to be done, but he's back home, and I'm just praising God for it, because that's mostly what I wanted, was him back, because the babies are coming, so daddy needs to be home. And just another prayer. He was at his parents' house for the 2 months that he was away, and they kind of told him, it's either you go to rehab or we're kicking you out. And so he's like, well, I'm trying not to go the rehab route, and he's going to church, and he's going to like a church, like an outreach for people for drugs. The baby is due in February 14th, which is the same birthday as my dad. Yeah. Oh, 2 days off. That's right. 2 days off. And, anyways, I also just want to pray against any anger that he's holding towards his parents for kind of kicking him out, because that is a pretty, that can definitely linger. Anyways, Lord Father God, I lift up Zach and Megan again to you. We thank you so much for the work that you're doing in them. And I see that there's progress to quiet him down and to deliver him from these demons of addiction and these demons of anger and generational curses, Father. Lord Father God, I just continue to rebuke faction and divorce and Jezebel out of that house, and I rebuke any sort of New Age curse that's trying to administer its way into here. Lord Father God, I just pray joy, reconciliation, truth, and faith in that family. And I pray that as he gets closer to you, Father, that my sister follows. Thank you, Father, for all the work that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're muted.
I know, and I was trying to hit it, and I was missing it. Amen. No, Trump will be president. Amen. I'm sorry, I've got my grandson wanting to know if it looks like it. Kamala is ahead or something, some nonsense like that. But he's watching mainstream media. You know how they do. Okay. Yes, Lord, we thank you for a good work in both of them, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for getting rid of all the tormenting demons that are... Where'd he go? Oh, there he is. I lost his face and I saw that. I'm sorry. But Lord, I thank you for doing a great work in them and bringing them both to a conciliatory heart. with love between them. In Jesus' name, amen. I can't believe I got that word out. Go ahead, Julie.
That's impressive. I just want to add one little, I just want to pray one little thing to you for Zach, something you said, Ben, about him, about getting into the prophets and stuff and trying to make sense of that. And, Lord, I just pray that you would put it in Zach's heart, that he would be led of your spirit. You would put it in his heart, Lord, to stay in the New Testament. Stay in the New Testament and learn what the New Testament is about before he starts really trying to figure out prophets. And so much of that stuff is you have to do spiritually. And just give him grace to do that, Lord. Keep him in Proverbs, keep him in the Psalms, keep him in those things he could understand, bring him to Ecclesiastes or these things, but keep him in the New Testament so he can know who the real Jesus is and understand what covenant he has now with our God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask, you know, praise you, Father, for your grace. I ask for more grace, Lord, during this time, this election, and all the things that are being, there's so much stuff out there right now, so many things happening regarding the election, the deep state, all the things that we've been praying about. Lord, I thank you that you've heard all our prayers, our petitions, that we have taken our authority over the enemy. We've been binding and loosing according to your will and praying in the spirit a lot for many, many things, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that we can't, you know, we're not really supposed to judge anything before the time, but we know that, your hand is on President Trump and you've, put him there. He will be the president of this country again, legally. He's never really left and we know that, but majority of people do not know that. I thank you, Lord, for how this is all going to play out the way you want it, and that you're going to get the glory in all this, and you're saving people, and you're changing people's hearts. And I just saw some, you know, it was a map on something about, I don't know if it was electoral votes or whatever, but the majority of the whole nation was red. And I don't know if it's even too early to count all that yet, Lord, or not, but I also saw some videos where California, there was all kinds of big Trump support in different areas of California. And the people, you got people everywhere, Lord. And this election is just going to blow everybody's mind and what they thought were blue states are going to turn red. You could turn this whole country red with the actual numbers once it's all said and done. And we praise you and thank you for that, Lord, that it's just going to show that, you know, what the deep state's been doing, they've been getting what they asked for, but they're not going to win. The enemy's not going to win. And we thank you for that. We already have the victory. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing down the deep state, their weather warfare, manipulation, and all the things they're doing to cause the problems, the destruction, the interference, the distractions, their false flag events, and all these things we prayed about, Lord, that we're going to see the fruit of that. And there's going to be a great victory there, Lord. And we already claim it in Jesus' name. I thank you for your protection on all the people in all across this land and across the globe, for that matter, Lord, where they are standing for truth and rising up for righteousness and justice and against this communistic agenda that the deep state has, Lord, and what it's all about. And these things come out into the light when you choose to turn on that EBS and do what you're going to do, Lord, that your people and everyone's protected and they obey the law. And just shield everyone, Lord, from harm and just let you do your work. And we thank you, Lord, for the angels that are doing the heavy work, Lord, things that man cannot do, that they've already been assigned and are doing and going forth according to our prayers, Father, in the name of Jesus, and you get all the glory. Thank you, Lord, for being our God, for choosing us. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we're coming into. We know you're going to change everything, and we look forward to these changes, Father, for they're good, because you are good. You're good to us, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Glory be to God. Okay. Anyone else? I want to pray for a lady that I prayed for today at the grocery store. She was walking. She barely walking. She was leaning on a grocery cart, and she was with another elderly lady. This lady was probably about 50 or so. And she was hobbling, just walking very slowly and couldn't look like her back was bothering her. And she went on out to the car. I was in the line to get checked out. And after I got checked out, the lady behind me was with her. And I said, what's wrong with your friend? She said, that's not my friend, that's my daughter. I said, okay, I kind of figured that. And she said, well, she has multiple sclerosis. And she's had this, she's had that, she's just going through the list. And I said, okay, what's her name? She told me. I said, I'm going to go out there and pray for her. I said, is she a believer? Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I went out there, and I saw her getting in a station wagon. I had my groceries. I didn't have much groceries. I just had a handful. And I walked over there, and I said, hey, Lane. She looked at me, and I said, what's wrong with you? I understand you have, what did I say?
Multiple sclerosis.
She said, yeah, I do. I said, can I pray for you? She said, yeah. I said, you can pray for me. And she was smoking a cigarette. So I started praying for her, and I prayed for her, and I commanded, all of that stuff to go from her. And then I commanded that addiction to cigarettes to leave her also. And she said, yeah, one of those things, I just want to pray for her again. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for taking that cigarette addiction away from Elaine. I thank you, Father, for restoring her to her rightful health. I thank you, Lord, for any other problems that she has, that you would completely heal her body and her mind. And I praise you and I thank you for that, Father, that she would be a productive member of that family. I don't know anything about her, Lord, you do, and I ask that you would grant repentance to her and bring her into the kingdom in a way that would benefit her and her whole family. And I praise you and I thank you for that, Father, for doing that for Elaine, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay, Julie.
Just as you were saying that, Mike, Lord just reminded me of something I'd like to be able to pray in agreement with. And if anyone shows you anything and you want to pray as well, just do so. I just want to pray for my neighbor, Stephen. He's a Vietnam vet. I want to say he's in his 70s, early 70s maybe. But he's had some health issues. It's just he and his wife. His wife has some serious health issues, and she's got some serious anger, resentment, and bitterness from what he has shared with me about her. We've had some chats about the Lord and that kind of thing. Her name is Deborah, and I've prayed that, the Lord would soften her heart and grant repentance, that he would forgive her parents and her siblings, where she's holding. But there's just all kinds of hostility there, apparently, within the family. There's just no forgiveness there in the heart. And anyhow, back to Stephen. So he goes every day to get them meals because they don't cook. She can't. She is physically not able to do much at all for herself, and he does everything. I noticed he's had some physical issues, and he's been walking. Lately, I see he's been walking around Michael. Thank you. He's been walking around with a cane, where he couldn't really hardly walk before. He was real slow moving and stuff. So now he's walking with a cane. And I just lift him up to you, Lord. I pray for Stephen and Deborah. I pray for your blessings upon them. I pray for their health. I pray healing into their bodies, where the enemy has come and stolen much from them, Lord. For healing and strength into them. I pray forgiveness into Deborah's heart regarding her parents and how they treated her and how her sibling, differences there, Father, that where there's bitterness and resentment and just hurt and rejection and all kinds of things, Lord, but you are the God who saves. And I lift them up to you to the throne of grace, and I pray that you work in their hearts, Father. And I just pray for blessings on Stephen and Deborah. Stephen and Deborah, Lord. And when this EBS happens and there is lockdowns here and they cannot leave, I'm just concerned, Father, that, you know, they don't cook. They don't have anything, any means there to do that. And I just pray for your leading and guiding. If there's something I can do to help them, if that should be your desire, and if that should be the issue where there is a lockdown here. So thank you, Lord, for showing me what to do and giving me peace about that and doing a great and mighty work in my neighbors, Lord. And thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That's another reason I wanted to turn it down. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
I'd like to pray for my husband. Father, I thank you for putting it in Merle's heart to turn the election stuff off. I bind up this spirit of anger in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for granting him repentance, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for delivering him from media, Lord. I just praise you and I thank you for the mighty work that you're doing in him, Lord, and have done in him. I thank you, Lord, that he's a mighty man of God and that he loves you with all his heart. And I thank you, Lord, he's delivered from all the power of the enemy in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that he knows the truth and the truth is setting free, Lord. And I just praise you and I thank you. Thank you for my husband. Mighty man of God that he is. Mighty man of valor. In Jesus' name. That loves you with all his heart. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Anything else?
I did think of something earlier concerning the elections. Oh, Philadelphia. Thank you, Father, that all this election tampering and fraud and whatever you want to call it is being dealt with in the name of Jesus. We send forth the angels to help the authorities to quell it and arrest those who are responsible in the name of Jesus. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
There's all kinds of shenanigans they're saying going on up there in Pennsylvania. I don't doubt it. But Lord, we thank you that your angels are changing every vote that they change themselves in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for getting rid of the votes that not supposed to count. In the name of Jesus. Angels, we ask you to get up there and do that. Stay at it. And let it not be a rigged one. Go ahead.
I got another one. Merle said that there's this one county that for a couple hours they had software problems. I forget what the name of the county is. You know which county it is. With the voting machine. So they extended it from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock that people could vote because apparently they were shut down for a while. And Lord, I just, if there's any finagling there with that whole thing, I forbid it in the name of Jesus that everything be right and machines are working right and the angels there are making sure that everything goes the way it's supposed to be, that every vote is counted exactly the way it's supposed to be counted and none are accounted, there's no bogus, illegal votes. And even every vote be counted, whether the Democrat or Republican, proper voting in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for sending your angels out all over this land to make sure that the votes are legit. And if they're not legit, change them. And we thank you for it, Father. Do away with them, either one. Amen. Now, thank you, Father, for exposing the people that are doing it, too. Expose every one of them. We ask that in the name of Jesus. That they will be prosecuted for treason, because that's exactly what it is. And we praise you for that, Father. That's a hanging offense. Thank you, Lord. It's not just Pennsylvania that's doing it, although they're doing a lot up there. But Georgia's doing it, Arizona, all of those same states that were doing it the last time. Father God, we thank you for making this a fair and equitable election, a fair election. We thank you because we know who's going to get all the votes. I mean, when the Democrats can't draw 200 people together, I mean, Trump's got tens of thousands of them there. Something's wrong with that picture. Just like it was in 2021. Same thing. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right, anybody else want to pray? Lord, I want to bless those wonderful little kids over in India for praying for us over here for our election. Father God, we just ask that you bless them in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. How many views did that have? Okay. All right, anybody else? I want to pray against this missile that's supposed to go after the polling. What time's the polls shut down? 7:30? 7 o'clock? 8 o'clock? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, 8 o'clock. Well, Father, 8 o'clock, I don't know which, probably at California time, which would be, 1, 2, it'd be 3 o'clock
I'm guessing it's 8 o'clock. Yeah, I'm guessing it's 8 o'clock every time zone. So.
Like, that's why I said Hawaii. 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock our time. Oh yeah, I don't know what.
No, it's 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock your time, and then Hawaii would be the last one, or the last time zone.
Oh yeah, yeah. What time zone are they in? Anyway, Lord, whenever that thing shoots, Lord, let it be harmless to anyone. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that if they had intended this to go somewhere and to do something that was not right, I ask, Lord, that you let it, you disarm it and put it in the ocean out there somewhere. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that. As y'all know, you probably know if you listen to David, they're planning to do a nuke exchange. We've heard that the deep state wants to fire a missile over into Russia to start World War III. Let me explain something to you, if I can, real quick, if you don't know. The deep state knows if Trump gets in there, a lot of them are going to jail. A lot of them. And the reason is because they've been very deceitful in their dealings with A lot of it is going to Ukraine. That money going to Ukraine has come back into the hands of a lot of these politicians. And that, and also treason and other, a lot of things that they do is going on. And I'm not saying that it's mostly Democrats, but I'm sure there's some rhinos in there that's gonna get it too. But how this is gonna come out, don't know. I don't know. I think if this election is, it could go back to the military. And if it goes back to the military, then guess who's the CIC? You know what the CIC is, Commander-in-Chief. That's Trump. He's the Commander-in-Chief right now. I have been for the last 4 years. So that could cause a lot of trouble. Lord, I just pray against any of these aliens coming together as a gang and starting trouble in any of these cities in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that your angels are out there watching and neutralizing any foul play that they might want to do in Jesus' name. I'm talking about the Chinese or anybody else. In Jesus' name. Ladybug, get out of here in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, man.
I got another prayer request. So Canada is also involved with taking a massive influx of refugees or immigrants, and they started taking in so many that they're doing these things called, you're going to have to forgive me, I don't know the correct name, but they're called like tent camps, a big tent endowment where all the refugees and all the immigrants are going. And, you know, like, I only saw it on the news yesterday because I saw my mom and the news was on there. And so I was like, well, how are we going to know if these people are, you know, bad people? I'm not saying every refugee is a bad person, but, you know, like, if it's going to be that massive of an influx of people coming in, and it's just down the road from my mom's and my sister's place. So I just want to pray against any sort of murderous, looting, thieving, terrorist people that want to just run amok and break the law. I just want to rebuke any sort of spirit that's getting put in these people. And I just want to pray that these people will be supervised properly by.
Are they coming into the country legally or illegally?
Who knows at this point? Well, they're being classified as refugees. So I don't know all of our foreign policies all about that, because there's just, yeah, kudos taking them in like they're, yeah, hot pot kind of thing. And I just want to bind all the smoke and mirrors. I want to pray for the exposure that the people that need help, that they get the help, and the people that are just here to destroy and murder and steal and take, I rebuke all their works, and I rebuke that mindset, and I rebuke those demons out of my neighborhood in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for your shield of protection upon everybody that's involved there in Jesus' name. Well, I can tell you what I know about Cass Trudeau. He's gone. He's out of there.
His own party constituents don't want him to be even the leader of their party anymore.
Oh, really? So,
yeah. They very close to probably just kicking him out soon. Not a lot of people are impressed with what he does, and he doesn't really have any excuse because he's been embezzling money, taking money, using taxpayers' money. This Pierre guy is doing a pretty good job in exposing what he does is wrong. I'll give him that. So praise God that the deception. I also, like, I feel kind of I don't know, pity for Trudeau because, you know, he just divorced his wife and the whole country pretty much hates him and his own party hates him and, you know, kind of sad, but it is what it is.
You remember that old song? Everybody hates me, nobody likes me, gets to go eat some worms.
Yeah, my dad used to sing that song.
Andrew, we like mines, huh? That's an old song.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Missy. Thank you, Lord, for straightening out that government up there in Jesus' name, putting good, honest people in there in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, Missy. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to pray concerning the refugees. We just, any that have ill intent up there in Canada, we just send the angels to take them and pluck them out and put them back where they belong in Jesus' name. And we just praise you and thank you, the same as you've done for us here, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for peace and protection for your people, especially for Andrew and Ben and their family. All your love, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Hey, did y'all see where up in North Carolina, the Amish from Pennsylvania has gone down there and are building homes for those people? Yes, they're building homes. The Amish from Pennsylvania are traveling down there. They've already built, look like, a half a dozen homes up there. Nice little home, but they're home. It's just amazing. That's the true Christian way. From brother helping brother. And I can read this here. It says, Tucker Carlson a day ago, thank you to all who attended the grand finale of our live tour with President Donald J. Trump. All profits from the event will go towards helping those affected by Hurricane Milton and Helena. Watch the event. That has got a link there to go to it, but that's awesome. What has Biden and Harris done for them? Stole from them? Killed them? Did everything but the right thing. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else? Currently 3:45 a.m. They're that far ahead of us. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 hours. Or behind us, I mean. Behind us, I'm sorry. Back to the west. Yeah, Missy, how you doing?
I was looking on the map, and I thought of Alaska, too. And Alaska is in the same... Alaska probably might be a couple time zones there, but Alaska and Hawaii are perpendicular. So we got to wait on Alaska, too. They're close to the same time zone.
Okay. Well, we've already prayed against you, so that's not going to happen. Praise God. Hey, Pat. All right, let's see. So apparently it looks like that there's a lot of shenanigans going on up here in all of these deep state blue countries, blue states. I remember when the Democrats used to be red. The Republicans used to be blue. Y'all probably don't remember that, but I do. I don't know why. All right. Anybody else want to pray? Pat, we've been praying for the election and a few personal prayers, and also for this missile that they're going to shoot tonight, this nuclear ballistic missile, after the voting polls close, an hour after. So that would be, what time did we say that would be, 11 o'clock? Yeah, 11 o'clock Eastern time, that they would shoot that missile. But we prayed against any nefarious shootings, like toward Russia or anywhere else as far as that goes. Forgotten that thing anywhere but the ocean. I don't know why they'd be doing that, but anyway. I did hear that 250,000 Amish people up in Pennsylvania went up and voted for Trump. Did y'all hear that? Yeah. 250,000 of them. They don't vote that often. But boy, when they vote, they all vote the same. And I heard them talking to one of the guys. Said, "Aren't you Amish?" He said, "Yes." He said, "You voting?" "Yes." "You voting for Trump?" "Yes." And he said, "Why are you voting for Trump?" He said, "Because when Trump was president, we were doing great. I said, when we get these other people in there, we don't do so great." That's what he said. And I said, "Well, that's pocketbook stuff, and people hate it when they mess with their pocketbook." And of course, Trump, one of his favorite questions is, "Are you better off now than you were four years ago while he was still in office?" I know. It's a struggle, isn't it?
How we doing?
Doing great. Oh, my, got a problem, Pat. Gotta go check on it. Oh, let's see. What else we need to pray for? Is anything? Can y'all think of anything else? I want to pray for Trump's protection. Father God, I thank you for your big warrior angels round about Trump or his lookalike or whoever that is playing him. I thank you, Father, for protecting him against all nefarious activities that are going to be geared toward him. And I praise you and I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, for your protection upon Trump's family, every one of them, his boys, his girls, his wives, all of them, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for helping, for protecting every one of them from these outlaws, in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, I've never seen such rhetoric going on out there about Trump and how somebody ought to shoot him. I've heard him talking about that. Somebody ought to shoot him. Somebody just needs to get rid of it. I've never heard it done nothing like this. I'll tell you something I used to do when I was growing up. If you said something like that in public, FBI would come get you and throw you in prison. Because that's treasonous talk. They would do that. Yeah, Missy. But now the Democrats can say it. They can even, you know, they can do that. It's just crazy. Go ahead, Missy. And then, no, go ahead.
I remember after 9/11. Oh, my gosh. I mean, everybody had to really watch their mouths after that, you know. Oh, my gosh. My son, when he was in seventh grade, Kurt, he had some bullies and stuff, and they accused him of saying that he would kill them, and finally got the kid that accused him of that and said that. And I don't know if there was other kids that were agreeing with that. They finally got him to say that, no, he didn't say that, you know? I mean, and Kurt was like, he was like in big trouble, you know? And I was like, praise the Lord that, you know, it's just crazy. You know, they call it terroristic threats, you know, and yeah, stuff like that. So, yeah, that's just insane, you know.
Yeah, you get and it wouldn't be long. It wouldn't take them long either to show up at your doorstep. But now they can just do it, get on TV and say it and not have any repercussions. That's crazy. People are terrorists. All right, anybody else? I want to pray for all the children too. Julie put in the post there in the chat. In the name of Jesus right now, Father God, we just ask you to rescue all the children that have been captured and put in cages or whatever, that have been kidnapped and taken from their families for this human trafficking. And I thank you, Father, for getting them out of there and exposing them. Send your angels out there to get the children out and expose the perpetrators all the way up to the top, Father, and I thank you for doing that. In the name of Jesus, Father, we just ask that you get them home, get those children home, back where they belong. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Poor children. I can't imagine the horrendous things that they did to these people. These kids. Yeah, Julie.
Well, if I remember right, that was, you know, Trump's top priority when he went into office in 2017. It was about the children, you know, setting them free. So we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing and what you have been doing, and that what you began, you will complete. And I thank you, Lord, for the men and the women and the special ops and, you know, whatever, however and whatever being done, angelic help, Lord, just free the children, to find them and set them free, Father. Bring them out of harm's way. Destroy these places, Lord, their ability, take away all their resources and tools and funding that they can no longer do this, Lord. In Jesus' name, bring down these traffickers. It's not just, I mean, it's their whole underground economy of illegal buying and selling of weapons and drugs and human lives, Lord, and anything else that I'm not thinking of that they do, but Lord, bring it into their evil. In Jesus' name, set the captives free and destroy these underground places where they've held them, Lord, that they can't be used for that. In Jesus' name, bring everyone accountable, Lord, and I know that you're going to do that. I know you're going to expose it because you already have been. That the majority of the world doesn't understand or know what's even been happening. And people just don't go missing, Lord, but you know everything. And I thank you, Lord, for exposing all that. And please protect the children. Please help the parents to be awake and watchful and protective of their children and not just turn around for a moment without guarding.
Amen.
You know, God, I thank you for the angels that work. Protecting them, Lord. And then are there some families, Lord, that these children should not be returned to because their parents sold them into trafficking and all that kinds of things. So, Lord, just find them homes where they belong, where they will be safe and cared for, whether it be in foster care, whether it be in an orphanages, or somebody who will love and care for them, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for doing that, Lord, and moving in the hearts of people with compassion. Take them in. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. They're using them also for organs. It's just horrendous what they're doing to these kids and people too. Craziness. Yeah, Missy. This is satanic.
This with the kids just reminds me it's come to my attention. It seems to me that, if I understand correctly, there's been a lot of slander and accusations and charges brought up on Tim Ballard, trying to say that he's, been doing nefarious things. And, I don't believe that they're true. And he hasn't. And he's actually won cases and lawsuits or whatever. I don't know all the details, but anyway, so I'd just like to pray for him and his family. And, Father, anything, that's nefarious in this situation, Lord, I pray for the truth to come out in the name of Jesus and protect all innocent, especially the children, Lord, and that the truth will be told in all this, and that no bogus charges or accusations will be able to flourish, but the truth will be known. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name.
Amen. The lawyer that's representing him, is that what, Larry Clayman? Is that his name? He's the guy that is from college over there on the East Coast, Baptist College. Yeah. You know if I say it.
Liberty?
Yeah, Liberty. He from, thank you, Pat. It's Liberty College. And, he does his thing pro bono. He gives some money. And, of course, Tim, he don't have any money. He's out there trying to save these kids and using all his money for that. His donations. And, the deep state are trying to destroy the ones that are doing some good. Tim has been doing a wonderful job. He's an ex-SEAL, isn't he, Missy? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And okay, Lord, we thank you for blessing him with all the provision he needs, blessing him with discernment, blessing him with wisdom. And Lord, I thank you for showing him where all of these children are that he needs to get and save, Lord. He's saved. He has already saved thousands of children. Believe it or not, he's done a great job. He's got a bunch of guys with him that are ex-SEALs too. All right. Anybody else? Lord, bless them all with a prayer. Father God, I raise our attention to the fact that we are in end times right now. And Father God, that it would behoove us to get closer to you. I ask and I pray right now. I'm going to pray some. In the name of Jesus, I come against distraction. I come against the enemy that would keep us from looking and running after you, Father God. I come against all the demonic warfare that's going on in our minds and in our houses and in everywhere around us, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that our mind, that you would help us to keep our minds completely upon you, Lord. And Father, forgive us for allowing this to happen in our lives. And I thank you, Father, for sanctifying us once again and drawing us nigh unto you, Father, where we can hear your voice completely. And see you, Father, and Jesus, have you just come to us and give us the words of knowledge and all the gifts of the Spirit be working in our lives, Father God. And I praise you for that. And I thank you, God, because we're going to need them, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you that every one of us that's listening to my voice right now will drop what they're doing and watch an election and all of that stuff. Because we already know how it's going to turn out. God's already told us Trump's going to be in there. So, Father God, we just praise you. We thank you that our attention now is focused upon you. Matthew 6:33, I believe it is. If we run after you, Lord, with all of our heart, you're going to take care of the rest of it so we don't have to worry about it. And I praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for placing our hearts next to yours, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the light of Jesus Christ shines out above around us and people will notice us as we walk down the street and they'll want to know what that light is. They'll see us shining from us and they'll see the love of God in our hearts too. And I thank you, Father, for enabling each and every one of us to have the faith and the bold faith to believe that when we do pray for somebody, something's going to happen. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Glory be to God. And I praise you, Father, because you're worthy. You are worthy, Father. And I praise you, glorify you, Father. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Whew. Y'all see the angels in here. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else? Yeah, they're just all lined up right in here. And it's not me. They're looking at y'all. Yeah. Praise God. Whoo. All right. Anybody else want to pray? Missy, did you want to share that word from progressive intimacy with everyone? It's a good word. And it goes right in with what I just prayed too. Yeah, they are, Julie. They're here and they're around everybody here.
Amen. At least our guardian angel, because we all have one at least. So
there's three behind Teresa right now. They're right around her. There's three of them around you, Teresa. Praise God. I don't know. Maybe you need them. Praise God.
I'm just kidding you.
They're there, though. They're there. All right. Go ahead, Missy.
Okay. There is none like me in all of heaven and all of earth. There is no other God that is before me. There is no other God that is worthy to be exalted and praised. For my name is high and far above all other names. I am a God that is jealous for my name and jealous for my glory. Even my creation cries out in worship to my holy name. For I am blessed and faithful. For I am a blessed and faithful God who has surely exalted my word above my name. My word cannot nor will it return unto me void, but it will go forth and accomplish what is needed. I call you, my children, to enforce my very spoken word that I have given unto you to pull down the strongholds in your soul and the very strongholds of your enemy. For even as I defeated the devil with the spoken word, enforcing its authority, so must you enforce the authority that you have through the power of your confession. Your words have the power and the authority to release life or to release death. You must choose your words wisely, my people. For faith truly comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of your God. The power of your confession will allow my faith to arise within your spirit and therefore enforce the authority of my word within your new nature. You must speak to your mountain to be removed, and it will be cast into the sea, and surely all things will be possible unto you if you only believe. You must allow me to destroy the subtle and hidden unbelief in your lives, that those great mountains might be moved. There is no mountain too great and no valley too low that I will not bring you through as you learn the power that is in my word and you enforce its power by speaking into your circumstances. Do not allow your circumstances or your surroundings to dictate how you will react, but only speak my word and allow its power to be enforced that I might accomplish for you the victory that is already rightfully yours. Will you believe fully in me and in my word? Nothing shall be impossible to you. Do you really understand that nothing shall be impossible unto you? Then let your faith arise and know that my word in the finals, and know that my word is the final say in every situation and circumstance, and you will have the victory that I have given unto you because your battle has already been won. Enforce my truth, for my word is truth, and it is my truth alone that shall stand the test of time. Do not allow time to dictate for you either, my children, for I am surely a God of eternity, and I am not moved by time, nor do I know time as you know it. So be patient in all things, and be faithful to continually and consistently speak forth my word that you might see your victory in manifestation. Selah. And that was from July 29, 2004. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. I confess to God of is the Lord of my life, that he's the Lord over disease, sickness, and Satan. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
How many have confessed that one? Amen. Yes. I hold fast confession to my confession of Jesus' absolute lordship over everything that would keep me in bondage or hinder me from enjoying the finished work of Christ. Glory to God. I confess in the face of every need that the Lord is my shepherd. I do not want. That's present tense. He is my supply. He is my health and my strength. He is the strength of my life. Of whom will I be afraid? And I confess the absolute lordship of Jesus and the absolute righteousness that is imparted to me in my redemption. Glory be to God. You want to play that song now? Because I feel like singing.
I don't know if I can get it, because I always have problems sharing my sound. Speak to the mountain. Whoever wants
to get it up. I can put it up.
Okay. It's ready for you whenever you get ready. While you're looking it up, I'm going to confess some more. Y'all mind if I confess some more? Glory to God. I confess before the world and before the throne of God that Jesus is now my Lord and that I have received salvation and I am now the righteousness of God in him. And I confess that I am a new creation of which Jesus is the head and the Lord. And the Word has taken Jesus' place in my life, and I now obey the Word as I would obey Jesus if he stood right there in front of me. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I confess that I no longer have cares, anxieties, and burdens, and I can never have weaknesses. I can never be unnerved and unfit for life's work. My mind is complete and is clear. My spirit is free. My testimony has the anointing of the Spirit upon it because he bears every burden, carries every load, and meets every need of mine. Glory to God. You ready?
Yes, you said speak to the enemy, right? Can't have my family. That one? Which one?
Speak to the Mountain by Chris McLaurin.
Oh, Speak to the Mountain. I'm sorry. Close the same thing, right? Almost the same thing.
Where he says about there's no mountain too high, no valley too low. That song popped into my head right away.
All righty. Chris McLaurin. Muting me.
Where'd she go? Ah.
When giants come calling my name, my God is so much bigger than troubles I face. Why would I hunger for power, riches, or fame? So much better than all of these things. So I won't be shaken. I won't be moved. My God is faithful. His promise is true. So I God is bigger, better, stronger, greater than me. My enemies scatter, 'cause they know the battle is done.
My God is stronger. The victory's already won. Yeah, he died for my ransom and rose up on the third day. Oh, 'cause my God is greater than death. Hell and the grave. Oh, I won't be shaken. Oh, I won't be moved. My God is
great song. Ooh, that was awesome. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? Yeah, Missy.
I have a song I want to share because there's a lot of confession in it. And it's another pick me up song.
All right.
And you've probably heard me sing it before, but I want to sing it again.
Are you going to sing it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Put the lyrics up.
Funny.
Go ahead.
I've got joy in the struggle. I've got peace in the storm. I've got strength in the battle. I don't fear anymore. I'm a child of heaven and my hope is secure. I've got joy 'cause I've got Jesus. Oh, he gave me beauty for ashes. Turned my life around, broke my chains, and now I dance on solid ground. For all he's done to save me, I will raise my voice. I've got Jesus, so I've got joy. He bore all my burdens. Yeah, my debt has been paid. Then he said to my dry bones, rise up out of that grave. He is all of my worship, all the honor and praise. I've got joy because I've got Jesus. He gave me beauty for ashes, turned my life around, broke my chains, and now I dance on solid ground. For all he's done to save me, I will raise my voice. I've got Jesus, so I've got joy like a river running through my soul. Joy all around me, everywhere I go, even in the desert, still it overflows. I've got Jesus, so I've got joy never ending, 'cause he called my name. Every breath I breathe, a testament of amazing grace. Oh, hallelujah, everything has changed. I've got Jesus, so I've got joy. He gave me beauty for ashes, turned my life around, broke my chains, and now I dance. For all he's done to save me, I will raise my voice. I've got Jesus, so I've got joy never ending, 'cause he called my name. Every breath I breathe, a testament of amazing grace. Oh, hallelujah, everything has changed. I've got Jesus, so glad I have him. I've got Jesus, so I've got joy. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. That's good, Missy. Amen. Thank you, Father God. I got joy, too. How many of you got joy? I got joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Up, down in my heart. Up, down in my heart.
Amen.
Hey, Joe. All right. Yeah, go ahead, Joe. You got the floor, brother.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Can I just ask about some... you could chat a little bit about circumstances. Missy read earlier in that intimacy, that reminds me of what I was talking to you about earlier last week, Michael. Circumstances. Say, for instance, you go shopping, you buy your groceries, and on your way home, you remember you forget a couple of things. Do you turn back, or do you go without it for a couple of days? Well, just for instance, how do you know the Lord didn't tell you, maybe the Lord just asked you not to, maybe not buy it, or according to circumstances, or just say, no, I'm going to turn back and buy it and come home? Just for interesting. What are people thinking about that? Do you understand what I'm talking about, Julie?
Well, I understood some of it. Maybe somebody else can help me.
You mean when you're like, when you go to the store and they don't have something you wanted? Is that what you meant?
No. You buy groceries. On your way home, you remember you need, say, for instance, two things you didn't buy. Do you go back, or just you leave it just like that? Maybe it's the Spirit not telling you not to buy it, or where you just says, now I'm going to buy it and come back. You just forgotten about it. Just be interesting.
Did you get that, Michael?
Yeah, I got it. I don't worry about it. I just go back and get it, or just wait until the next time I'm up that way to get it.
Yeah, it depends if it was urgent or not.
If it was urgent or not, I don't, you know. Sometimes the Lord wants you to go back for something else reason, you know, but it'll be obvious to you. It won't be, you know, it won't be. I do it all the time. when I say I do it all the time, I might forget something. You know what I'm saying? And then I have to go back and get it, but I won't go back and get it that time. I'll wait till the next time I'm up there to get it, unless I just really, 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 really need it, and then I have to go back and get it. But I've got, you got to understand, I've got grocery stores all around me, so it ain't no big deal. But, yeah, sure. It can be spiritual or it can be either way. Just like today, when you see a need, we ought to address it. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead, Julie.
I was just going to share a testimony about that very thing.
Sure.
I think I shared before, and I went up to the store to get a few things, and I had my list, but the two main things I was going to get, I didn't put on my list because that was the primary reason to going up there. And I knew I'd just remember them, but I was going on my list, so I got to check out and everything else. And I went outside and started walking back to, I got around the corner of the store and heading back home. And then it dawned on me that the very things I was going up there for, I didn't get. So I had to go back in the store, and I was grateful that I didn't get very far when the Lord reminded me, and those thoughts came back to my remembrance. You didn't get those things. I'm like, oh, thank you. So I had to go back in the store, get what I went in there for, and I was thanking the Lord for that. So sometimes it's just a matter of, you know, he's always guiding us, you know.
Yeah.
And so you get all the way home, and then you remember, I've done that before, and I went back up to the store and got it because I'm like, okay, I guess I need the exercise. I'll go back up there, you know. And it was just like, well, you know, it's not a big deal. Sometimes, like Michael said, there's a reason. Maybe there's somebody you need to talk to. There's a reason, or, you know, he didn't want you going in the store because something, you know, or he didn't want you going back because of an event that was happening that you weren't supposed to see. You know, who knows?
I'll tell you what, David and I forgot one time, Joe, and this is a couple, two, 3 years ago. Yeah, we got two or three sacks of groceries, put them in the grocery cart, and walked out Walmart with them. Didn't pay a nickel for them. Yeah. Now, what was we? Got all the way out to the truck. Put them in the truck. I said, did you pay for them? He said, no, I thought you did. I said, no, and I thought you did. So what do we do then? I said, get in the truck quick. Let's get out of here. No, we went back in and paid for them. But yeah. That, you know, you get to talking or something, you forget about things. But that actually happened. Go ahead, Judy.
That reminds me, I thought of you the other day, Michael, because I was at the store and that very thing happened to me. I had coupons and the guy was helping me with the coupons. He had to verify them and all that stuff because I was at self-check. And I got somewhat distracted. I bagged all my groceries. I put them in the cart. I started to walk out. And then I'm thinking, did I get everything? And did I grab everything and put it in my bags? And I went back to look, and I'm like, wait a minute, where's my receipt? And I'm like, didn't pay.
You got the discounts and still didn't pay. You got all the discounts.
The guy was standing there. He was just kind of watching. And it's like, I was like, I can't believe it. I started to walk out without paying. He goes, believe me, it happens. He goes, people walk out of here. They leave their keys. They leave their wallets. They, you know, they just forget stuff. They get preoccupied. Yeah. And, you know, I guess when you got to do everything yourself, when you're doing everything, you're checking, you're running, you know, scanning, weighing, punching in codes and doing all that stuff, check, you bag your own groceries, doing all that, you know, it's distracting. But it was kind of funny. But I thought of you, that very story that you walked out without paying for your stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't get that far, but that's close.
We got all the way out to the truck. And I got to thinking, I said, well, I didn't pay for it. I'm sure David did. You did, didn't you, David? No, I thought you did. So we went back in and paid for it.
Can I ask another instance? For instance, on the shelf it says $9, or what, or minus $9.50. And you came in the counter and he says, the price differs. Do you query it or you just leave it like that?
I didn't understand that one. Go ahead.
I can't hear you. Can you hear Joe?
I can hear him, but I just can't understand him.
He said, if there's a price difference, say it's you said 9 rand and change or whatever, and there's a price difference, do you bring it to their attention and ask for the right amount? Or not? I always bring it to their attention.
I do too.
Because they can make mistakes.
Yeah. Because, you know, they might have an answer for it, you know. They might think, well, yeah, that's on sale. Or they might say, well, they just forgot to take the sale thing down. Something like that. You just go ahead and pay it. Or they'll send somebody back there to check it. Generally is what they do. So I wouldn't worry about it. I'd just go ahead and pay whatever whatever they want. But if it's on sale, it's go back out. If it's priced out as a sale item, I'd bring it to attention. Always. We'll be a good steward of your money. I mean, if you can get out the door with 2 sacks of free groceries, go for it, man. No, don't do that. No, don't do that. That's sin. But I always thought that, you know, they had those beams looking at you when you go out, and when you check out, they exit out so it won't go off. But I guess not. I was surprised to find Angelica's boy used to work at Real Key, and he said, man, they walk out of there with tons of stuff. I said, well, how do they get by the buzzers stand? He said, they got ways. Yeah, they walk out of there with big tools and everything. Stealing is one of the biggest costs for stores and stuff nowadays. Okay, anybody else? Y'all forgive me for saying it. We took off. We didn't take off. We went back inside and paid debt. Y'all want to hear a little motivational stuff? I got one. Boy, I love this one. Y'all heard it before, but it's time to listen to it again.
Is it That's My King?
No, but I can. No, this is Never Give Up. Remember that one? You will when I put it on. Okay, let's see. Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to have to go back out. Put this thing right back where it was. Okay. Yeah. All right, now I can do that, and this. I think.
But he did not give up. But what David did is that David encouraged himself in the Lord. There are so many stories similar to this in the Bible. Many people choosing to give up because they have lost their strength. They couldn't go on anymore. But they encouraged themselves. God helped them to get back on their feet. When God created this world, He created everything to be easy and smooth for all of us. But when sin came, it reshaped the world. Since sin came in, you and I know this fact and this reality. Jesus knew about this world. He knew there would be nothing easy in this world. He told his disciples about this in John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus told them the truth about life. He assured them of victory. So today I want to ask you, what are you doing right now? The challenges that you are facing are a part of life. That is how this world has been redesigned by sin. David encouraged himself in the Lord when he was faced with challenges, when he was alone, when he had no one else that he could count on, when everyone that should be there for him turned their back on him, he encouraged himself in the Lord. What are you doing? Are you discouraged and you want people to pity you because of the challenges you are facing? This is the time for you to stand up on your feet and encourage yourself in the Lord. Don't wait for other people to come and pity you. Don't wait for other people to come and save you. Don't wait for other people to come and give you a helping hand. There are moments in life when you need to be your own support system. You were not made to be pitied by anyone. You were made to show strength to everybody. Be strong in the Lord. The Bible called you a royal priesthood. You are a child of God. You should not be discouraged by what is happening in this world. You should be strengthened. The truth is, life is full of battles and challenges. The challenges that you are facing today are stepping stones to the life that you will have. There will never be a warrior without battle. There will never be a victory without a fight. There will never be a conqueror without a conquest. Just because you fall down doesn't mean it's over. Micah 7:8, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. This person was very strong to shout this at his enemies. He was sure that his fall is not the end because he knew God will always be there to raise him up. And that's something that needs to be in your soul and needs to be in your spirit and needs to be in your mind. God will raise you up when you fall. When the world is against you, you should know that what is important is that God is by your side. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, if God is for us, who can be against us? We all know the wonderful story about Elisha and his servant. When the Syrian army came with their horses and chariots, and Elisha's servant was terrified. A whole army with battle-ready soldiers was there ready to take over. The servant was confused and afraid. We see in 2 Kings 16 the following, and he answered, this is Elisha speaking, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. This statement did not convince the servant until Elisha asked God to open his eyes, and he saw the mountains full of horses and chariots of fire. Are you complaining about your situation? You are wasting time complaining. If only you knew, if only you can ask God to open your eyes and you will see the God that is for you is much greater than the situation that you are facing. Then you'll be bold and strong to face whatever you have to face today. Don't you understand that you're a child of God? God is on your side. I know what the situation looks like. I know it doesn't look like it will end well, but God is on your side. That's what I've come to remind you today. If God be for you, who can be against you? Let the odds be stacked against you. Let the world turn its back on you. Let everyone boo you. Let them try stop you. Their efforts are meaningless when God is involved. Just know God will never leave you. This is a word of encouragement to all souls that are troubled and feeling like it's over. God says in Deuteronomy 3:6, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid. For the Lord thy God, he will never leave you nor forsake you. God is not a liar. He cannot tell you this and then fail you. He doesn't fail. He said, you should be strong. He said, you should be courageous. He said, you should be not afraid. The time you are using to complain and to question God's promises, why don't you use that time to believe in God? Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. He was not afraid because he knew what his God was capable of doing. The three Hebrew boys were thrown into the burning fire. They were not afraid because they knew who their God was and is. Your life.
I'm sorry, but that thing was 48 minutes long. I just noticed it was the wrong one. But anyway, it gets you a little bit motivated. Go ahead, Ben.
It's a good one, though.
Yeah.
I just wanted to bring up something that when I listened to Sunday's Bible study. I've yet to listen to Wednesdays, but on Sunday, it was a good one. It was a long one. Well, it was longer than usual, but it was a good one. And, he was sort of talking about persecution and all that. And, you know, how it all talks about it in the Bible and, you know, you will go through persecution. And I have been like yelled at and told to, you know, stop preaching and all that. But have I been ever like attacked because of my faith? No, I've never been attacked. And, so I was wondering maybe we could kind of talk about that because it sort of got me thinking like, oh, I'm not being persecuted enough. And then I fell into a little bit of condemnation because of that. And I've repented and I've confessed it, and I know I'm not supposed to look for the persecution, but I don't know. It's just, I don't know.
What is it about persecution that you like?
Well, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's Matthew chapter 5. You're blessed when you're persecuted. Yeah. And which is a good thing. Doesn't obviously feel good at the sting doesn't feel good, but, you know, it's just that I feel like it's kind of like no one's going to attack me for being a Christian. If I say I'm a Christian, I say I believe in Christ. I feel like once I start talking about what it says in the Bible and what we should be doing, I feel like more Christians would be coming against me than people that don't believe in the Bible, which is just kind of shows the time of the times you're in. And
think of it this way, Ben. Jesus had the same problem. The church came against him.
Yeah. And I don't know. I guess I've never really been to any other congregations really, but this one, like going like on a regular basis. So
yeah.
I've never had a discussion as in depth as I had with you guys. Yeah. And I didn't even know that much back then, and I knew it was wrong. So I didn't really know how to confront them about it.
Or even if you should. Well, we can persecute you if you like. I mean, that's no, you don't want it. I'll tell you what. I can tell you my experiences. If you come against someone who wants to question everything that you say, and you keep coming back with the Word of God and they don't listen, that's persecution because of, you know, you can't get across to them what you want them to know, and they still come at you. Just leave it alone. Walk away. And you're dying a little bit to the flesh when you do that, because our natural instinct is to fight against what comes against you, you know. But God wants us to not do that and just turn the other cheek and let him go ahead and do that. I've had that happen to me many, many times, and most everybody here has, I'm sure. Even family members that have come against you, you know. It's the thing that the Lord wants us to go through for one reason, and that's to humble us and to make us better Christians. Because we know where the truth is. It's in the Word of God. It's not in man, it's in the Word of God. Go ahead, Pat.
I'm going to let Missy go because I'm getting ready to sneeze.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, confess it.
Nice.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, between what you said, Ben, and what Michael said, it just one thing that just comes to my mind is don't throw your pearls before swine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they don't want to hear it, you know. I mean, get an indicator that they don't want to hear it, or you know, whatever.
Yeah, I've mentioned I don't work with very many people, so it's only really two guys, and you know, I've mentioned it both to the gospel to both of them. I think one of them completely forgets about it, and then the other guy just told me to stop talking to him at all. So I just kind of left it at that.
Yeah. That's about all you can do. I'll tell you what happened to me one time. I had two good friends of mine, real good friends, Christians, called themselves Christian. And I laid out to them the post-tribulation scriptures and just went through them, every one of them. And, this is a husband and wife. And I've known this guy since I was a little guy. We went to school together. And I was even at his place. He gave me a key to his place up on the river so I could go up there and trout fish when I wanted to, stay in his cabin. And I laid it out for him. I said, now I'm going to show you something in the Word of God that you're not familiar with. And I said, that's the tribulation and the rapture and the timing of the rapture. And I laid it out and I said, you see this? Yeah, I see that. You see this? Yeah. See that? Do you see this? Yeah, I see it. Yeah, makes sense. Next day, and I gave him a little booklet on it that I had made up out of Hidden Manna. And they brought it back to him and said, well, we just don't believe that anymore. We just don't believe that. Can't be that. And I didn't argue with him. I said, okay, all right, well. Forget about it, you know. You can't sit there and argue with them. Because that goes against what God told us to do, you know. Just turn the cheek, let it go on. They'll come to it at some point in time, hopefully. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Number one, the Lord will raise up persecution, when it's necessary. It's not, if you're feeling like maybe you're missing the boat, I would just say, hang on, because the best is yet to come. But I think the persecution, like you said, comes from our holding on to the Word, believing the specifics of God's Word. And ultimately, you know, the I think it kind of comes in levels or degrees, because the first phase of persecution, so to speak, is from our own flesh. You know, when we see something of God's word and we set forth to obey that and trust the Lord in a specific area, the first thing we feel is a resistance within ourselves in the flesh, the carnal perspective, and you have to go against that. And then after that process, there's another process whereby we have seen that and have walked in that truth and or are continuing to apply that truth. And just like the teaching of this of Sunday's teaching, they're, walking in faith in certain areas appears to others as foolishness, and or at which point, and I'm going to say, because maybe they have not entered into that particular truth, or have not been or maybe have not been enlightened to that particular truth, and so subtly there's a little bit of fear or anxiety maybe connected to that with people. And their initial reaction is to, of course, criticize or reject or whatever. And, the ultimate goal for us as believers, I say believers not as a title, but as a practice, to take God's word, and every time he opens our eyes up or we see something new, to believe it and to apply it and to walk it out. And ultimately, every time that happens, the devil's going to send something our way to get us to give it up. And that's why God's, many times in the scripture, God has, uses that phrase, keeping his word. Because, those that keep his word, there is a real keeping. In other words, are you going to hold on to that word, or are you going to let somebody or some circumstance or something take it away from you? And there's a battle, a holding on to that, even in the midst. And I'm finding that even in the midst of our lack of seeing the results, say healing or whatever it be, any portion of God's word that you believe and you're holding on to by faith, there's a time frame that you believe it before you receive it, before it manifests. There's always that. It's the same in the world anyway. The world wants this instantaneous, if it doesn't happen immediately. I mean, many times Jesus, healed, and it was relatively instantaneous, within the minutes, within the hour or whatever. But we have to at least recognize that Jesus, in the state that he was presented to us, he was in a perfected state even prior to crucifixion. He was functioning in the perfected Christ, the perfected Jesus, the completed. He was so there's, you know, and the rest of us are amateurs trying to live up to that perfection and move into that, you know, or that completeness of soul, spirit, soul, body. And so, you know, he was the master. He is the master, and we're the learners. And so, you know, it's even through healings and overcoming certain things, it's normally and naturally going to take us time to learn our way through the process and learn the ropes, so to speak. And that's, you know, the purpose of persecution is that the Lord takes us through situations and through conditions and experiences that try the word within us and try our believing, try our faith, try us and test us and exercise us in such a way that more and more and more we have to depend upon the resources of faith and learn how to depend upon His supply for any particular thing and every particular thing, even on those things within us where we struggle. And it's this a constant trying and persecution and testing. You know, isn't Peter that said, you know, going through manifold temptations, you know, and tryings. What is that verse that he said? Even if it be necessary for a little while, I'm you know, butchering that. I can't remember exactly what it was, but there's trying in our lives for a season. It's there for the purpose of bringing us into that perfected state, that place of completeness. And I was thinking that, you know, you know, God has called each one of us and created in us a certain state, a certain goal, spiritual goal, I guess you might say. Each one of us, He has. And His desire is to bring us from wherever we are at to that completed state. And so, you know, when I say perfection, or when I'm saying perfection, it might sound like, you know, we're trying to be absolutely, you know, flawless, perfect, you know, God incarnate or whatever is not the point. It's being completed to live up to 100% of what you were created to be, what He created us to be. He did not create us to be the ultimate. He created us to fit in a body and function a certain way. And so this persecution that we go through, or this opposition I'm thinking of, you know, that illustration of the mighty oak tree or whatever, and the winds of adversity constantly blowing against this tree, and just that constant stress on the trunk is what strengthens that oak tree and makes it grow stronger and larger so that it can handle the bigger storms, and it can, you know, grow into its purpose, you know, created purpose or whatever. So number one, the persecutions will come as we continue on. And they will certainly stop if we turn away. Persecutions will stop. God's correction won't, though, because he will not allow us to turn away from him and turn off. He will send opposition into our life in another form and correct us and bring us back into line. So, but anyway. That was my thoughts.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
I'm just real quick. I'm going to post a link in the chat here. And it was interesting. I don't know if anybody saw it, but it was Tucker Carlson who talked about an experience he had with a demon. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Talked about an experience he had. Now, he's not a Christian. He was not, you know, he hadn't been born into a Christian family and didn't have anything to do with Christianity, and avoids church, you know, wouldn't be caught dead probably in a church, etc. But this, he had this experience, and in this experience, he said when he came out of it his initial response was that I found a Bible and started reading it cover to cover. But what he said was, I just had this desire to read the Bible, and I've been reading it for a year and a half or whatever. So I'm just going to post it. And if you want to watch it, it's pretty kind of encouraging, because God is reaching out to the unchurched, to those that don't know God, but have, that are open, you know, for an interaction with God. They're a blank slate, and it's just, to me, I thought it was just really encouraging. But anyway,
amen. Yeah, that was an interesting testimony he gave about that. He said that he wrestled with that thing for a while. And it cut him on his arm and his side, didn't it? I believe that's what he said. But like Pat said, it moved him to go ahead and read and study the Bible. He didn't want to listen to man. He wanted to see what God had to say about it. And he read it from cover to cover, and he's still reading it. By the way, he's coming into to be a Christian, I believe. He doesn't talk like it right now, but he's still kind of rough. He's, like Pat said, he's been secular all his life, up until he had this demon attack him. Probably one of his. Or it could have been a witchcraft curse, you know, spoken against him. All right, anyone else? We're out of time, so you got 10 seconds. Go ahead, Teresa.
Well, this story, it's kind of a long story, but I'll try to cut it real short, like 10 seconds. Well, way back in way back in 1997, I went to Jordan, and I had begun to study Arabic, and there was a friend that had begun teaching me Arabic, and well, he was a minister actually, and he wanted to go to Jordan. You know, he had connections with Jordan, and it's going to be a long story. Okay, but after that trip, I came back, and I started studying Arabic, actually here in Kansas, with, a little lady, Rowan, she and her husband had come from Saudi Arabia, and he was studying English, you know, to go back to teach English in Saudi Arabia, and I was studying with Rowan, you know, because when I came back, I fell in love with the Jordanian people. These were Jordanian Christians. And, I fell in love with the people. And so when I came back, I began studying Arabic. Well, now it's getting pretty fluent in it. And then, during one session when I was studying with Rowan, she started trying to proselytize me, to see if I wanted to accept, you know, Islam. And, I got really scared, you know, because I knew that Muslims, you know, how they have this aggression against Christians. But it ended up that God's telling me they already knew that I was Christian. But because I was afraid of, you know, their doing harm to me, what I said was, well, you know, in the Old Testament, the candlestick is a representation of the Bible. You know, the different ornaments on it represent the Old Testament, different ornaments of it represent the New Testament. And then I stopped it there, and then she just kind of rolled her eyes. So, but God's telling me they already knew I was Christian. But anyway, they love me and I love them. And so it got to the point, and then they had to go back to Saudi Arabia. And so then my grandson, pretty soon after that, was born, and I had to start taking care of him. So anyway, that was fear of persecution right there. And I'm praying, God, I hope I'm better now, you know, to where I wouldn't be afraid.
Amen.
So I'll stop there.
Okay. Well, I lived in Morocco for 2.5 years in the Navy. And we got to know a little bit of Arabic. Not much. Just enough to get by in downtown, you know. Well, Father, we just thank you for answering our prayers tonight. We praise you, Father, for a fair election tonight. We thank you, Father, when we wake up in the morning, it's all going to be over. And I thank you for that, Father. There's not going to be any killings. There's not going to be any drama. And it'll all just be gone by the wayside, and Trump will be president, and here we go. We thank you, Father, for the 10 days of darkness. It's supposed to start tomorrow. And, Lord, we just thank you that, and that's when the man-child is anointed and the bride's anointed. And we praise you, Father, for that. And that's when the resurrection comes, too, the resurrection of the dead. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. Y'all be blessed, you hear? We'll see y'all soon, hopefully. Let's see here.